Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 43 of Season 5 of Movie Raw Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today on this lovely Wednesday is Heather Baxendale from Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back, Heather.
Thank you for having me back. I had to double check and make sure it was Wednesday. It's been one of those weeks.
Well, it's you're probably like dreaming on the skywalk or something like that, you know.
That's right. Actually, I was fighting a bunch of villains with submachine guns. It can
not today.
Just there ruin your whole sense of timeline. Not today. See, that's why I don't know what time it is and what day it is.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Right. Point made.
Yeah, that's not today.
That's tomorrow.
It's not even tomorrow. That we're gonna have to wait till Friday for. But yeah.
Anticipation. Yes. All right, so yes. Everyone listening, you have 2 days to wait for some gunfire.
There you go.
Actually, I think we get to hear gunfire at the end of the
The end of tomorrow, we get one shot. You know, it's a one shot. You know, so we'll just wait patiently for that. So minute 43 begins Board of Arrivals continuing to get filled up, and ends with a shot of the shield generator on Endor. Somehow that got into this movie. I don't know. You know, I know you well enough, Heather, that you probably recognize the same thing I did. If you look at that final second of this minute, you will see what actually does look like the antenna array of Endor. You know,
it does. I wanted to get on my Tauntaun and ride out there.
There are no Tauntauns on Endor, but okay, we'll give you that. You got to use a speeder.
Yeah, you know. Well, I was meshing the two together. It was all the snow.
Yes. Because there's so much snow here.
it was inspired by Hoth in that capacity.
Yes. No, but okay, yes. I understand that. And you know that you know, I promised 2 days ago that I would check something, and I didn't get a chance to do it till today. But you know, we wanted to see when we were talking about old Cape Cod on Monday. So, you know, I said I wanted to double check and see if Randy Harlan talks about it on the, on the commentary, and he doesn't say a word about it. He doesn't even say, oh, this is a song that we, you know, that we chose or anything like that. It's just, he skipped over that and started talking about the steam and stuff like that. So, you know.
I'm kind of surprised. It's used rather prevalently.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of a...
Especially on my podcast.
It's definitely...
You know.
And that is the most important part.
Yes. From that perspective, yeah. I would agree with you on that one. And, you know, so it wasn't there. What can you do? So basically, the minute starts, we see all of the... You know, we ended things yesterday by looking at the boards. You know, they started filling up the boards and writing everything is delayed and stuff like that. So we're actually going to take a little bit of time to talk about everything that's on those boards. Okay. And we're going to compare them from yesterday's boards to today's boards because they're slightly different. And they have some strange discrepancies.
Aren't they?
I'm sorry.
It looks like perhaps later too. I had them freeze frame myself. I might be wrong.
I actually took pictures of them so that I can see them.
Of course, yes. You did.
Now, obviously, the board awesome. At the end of this of yesterday's minute and the beginning of this minute is there's a particular arrivals board, you know, which talks about. Actually, it starts with the. Where things are starting to get delayed. So we have like the, you know, the flights from 7:10 and 7:15, which are flights to Dallas and Los Angeles. Now, I find it really cool. You know, I love looking at things in detail in the background in movies to see, like, you know, if anyone really spends their time for the fraction of a second that something is going to be seen. And they put a lot of work into this one, I must say. So first of all, let's go with the departures. Okay, so the departures, we talked yesterday about the fact that there was one that was that was leaving for Hawaii that for some reason it says that it was closed, right? But so yeah. they have the abbreviations of the airlines. So some of the ones that they use here are real ones and some of them are fake ones. So the flight to Hawaii is flight 101 FJA, which is probably Fuji Airlines, which is one of the ones that we saw earlier, right? And so it says that it's flight 101. So one of the things that I looked up is, and I think I talked about this in on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the fact that how do they choose flight numbers? And things like that. So
Yeah.
one of the things that I found back then, and I looked it up again, is that numbers, flight numbers that are even are either flying east or flying north, and flight numbers that are odd are flying either west or south. Okay, so I mean there is a method, there's a method
Oh.
to the whole madness of how they do this. And it's very cool. I mean also, lower the number, the more prestigious the flight is for that particular airline. Like the airline will have their main flights, what would you call it? Their flagship flights and stuff like that would be like 001 or 002 and stuff like that. They'd be like lower numbers and stuff like that.
So if you're on Spirit Airlines at like 322, you should probably fly something else. That's just coming from me.
Okay.
That's just my thoughts and opinions based on that. From now on, though, I am going to be noting this in my mind, and that's something that I will
Right. And a
remember.
lot of times there are airlines that will have, for instance, I'm just throwing out a completely random theoretical flight. You have a flight from, let's say, London to New York. So the flight from London to New York will be 101, and then the flight back from New York to London would be 102. They do things like that
Okay,
because it's
because it's
because of the fact of whether it's going east and west and stuff like that. All right. So, I mean, with the Hawaii one, they get that right. Then you have a flight to Denver where it's a little hard to make it out, but it looks like it's saying NID, which I don't know what type of flight error that is. Then the following one is going to Toronto. It's 142. So once again, it's an even number that is going north. So they got that one right. Then they have a flight to Baltimore. So for me, it shocked me that they have flights going from Dulles to Baltimore. I mean, I'm assuming they do, but it's so it's also 832. That's
Well,
an
yeah.
even number. Then you have a flight to Chicago, 1431, odd number, which is an NEA flight, Northeast Airlines, which we talked about. That's the fake airline that used to be a real airline. Up until the 70s, it was a real airline. Then it was taken over by Delta, all of their routes. Then you have one that says it's going to Cabos, CABOS, which is 423. So that's either going west or south. Also makes sense. Then you have another one that's going to Paris, 132, even number, going east. Tucson, it's 52. So there's one they actually get wrong because they're going west, so that should be an odd number. Then it's a little difficult to make out. You have Miami, which looks like it's 49, so they got that one right that it's an odd number going south. And then Houston, I can't make out the number. It's 21 something. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt that they got that one right. Okay, but they did put a lot of detail into the fact that they're showing all of these departures and arrivals and stuff like that. Then on the arrivals board, so the first flight is to Newark, 434. Again, that's an even number going north. Boston, 143. That should be an even number. Seattle, 383. That they got that one right. Then you have Madrid, and it says DEL, so maybe they're using Delta. Possibly 104. So that is that's an even number. That's correct. London 114, even.
Maybe.
Tokyo 144. So that should be an odd number. But also once again they have the FJA, meaning Fuji Airlines. Then we have 101 to New York, which should be an even number as opposed to an odd number. Dallas 102, going the wrong direction also. That's supposed to be an odd number. LA 140 should be an odd number. So basically, towards the end, I guess they got lazy. That's what it comes down to.
I was just gonna say, it seemed like they were really consistent at first, and after a while I went, okay, nobody's gonna pay
That's
attention to
right.
this. But they were
Yes, they were.
wrong.
Yes, they were. And then we get a completely different arrivals board that shows us all these other different flights. You know, there's a flight to Paris and Auckland and Zurich, Buenos Aires, Dublin, London, Chicago, Tokyo, Tel Aviv, and then Newark, you know, which really fits in with all of the international flights, you know, because, oh, Chicago is the only one that's not an international flight on that list. Okay. And the numbers, once again, you know, as we said, if it's an even number, they're going east or north. So they got that right on Paris. They got that right on Zurich. They got that right on Tel Aviv. On the ones that are going west, which should be an odd number. So Auckland is wrong because it says 58. Buenos Aires is south. So that one they did get right. Dublin is north. They got that one wrong. London 189. They got that one wrong also. Chicago going west is correct. Tokyo is 101. They're going very west on that one, so that makes sense. And then Newark, it just says number two, which I guess that means it's they got that one right. But what I found really, really fascinating is the fake airlines that they have here, because
Yeah.
you know, just you have the numbers. So for Auckland, it says NZA, New
New
Zealand
Zealand.
Air. Exactly. Then you have Zurich, it says SWR. So I guess that's like Swiss, Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Exactly. Buenos Aires, ARG, Argentina. That's right.
Argentina.
Then Dublin, it says WSA. I don't know what that's supposed to stand for. London, it's BRT, which I guess is British.
British,
Okay, then Chicago is EAS. Maybe it's supposed to be Eastern Airlines or something like that. I don't know. Tokyo, once again, you have FJA. And then Tel Aviv, it says IAL. So it's sort of Israel, I guess, you know. But I just, again, it goes to the fact that you know, I like looking to see how detailed they go and whether they do these things right or wrong. And so, you know, it was hit or miss with these. But you know, but for me it was fun going through it. Hopefully I didn't bore the, hopefully I didn't bore the crap out of everybody just listening to that right now.
I think it's interesting to see. I like this kind of stuff too, personally. I think it's kind of neat. And it makes me wonder too, who's in charge of this and how much effort did they put into it? And from the sounds of it, it does seem like they were like on top of it and putting in all the necessary details. And at some point, maybe they had to hurry up and finish. They had deadlines, or they got tired of doing it. I probably wouldn't have, but it looks like at least a concerted effort was still made to the finale. But I think that kind of thing is kind of
Yeah,
neat.
I liked it. I like the way that they do that. And they, you know, we get like different passengers that are looking and, you know, are a little concerned and stuff like that. Then the shot changes and we're back in the control tower, and we, you know, we, well, first of all, we hear a phone ring, and then we hear someone say, "Okay, stand back." And then we hear like shouts in the background and stuff like that. And then we see Barnes closing an attaché case. You know, he's like, and you see him put
Yes.
blueprints in an attaché case, which I'm a little confused as to why he would really do that. But okay, you know, why does he need to take the, maybe it's the plans of the Anakin Skywalker or something like that. I don't know. And then he does something really strange. He picks up like a disc and puts it in his mouth. You know, someone gives him a disc and he puts it in his mouth. Like he's holding it with his teeth. So it's just a little strange.
I think it's like it's kind of whether it's actually useful or applicable at any point. I think it's at least just trying to demonstrate the fact that they are hustling, that there is chaos and they are all working together, and maybe we'll miss some of these details, but they don't know that we're going to watch it like we're going to minute by minute and dissect all the details. But I definitely get that note from it, if anything
That's right.
else.
And it makes sense. And then, you know, he grabs his jacket, which, you know, is foreshadowing that maybe we're going to need this jacket later in the movie. Possibly. Not really sure. Could be. Could be. Exactly. Well, yub yub is because we're going to be getting to the, you know, to the end or
Headquarters.
scene. Exactly. Then the shot changes and we're looking from underneath, you know, like a staircase, a graded staircase, and you have all you have you know, boots that are walking down the staircase making a lot of noise. We can then see
these guys in their black
That's right. We
uniforms
see the SWAT
and
guys.
their, I think those are MP5s.
No, they don't they I think they have M16s.
Are they?
They have M16s.
You might be right. You
Yes.
might be right.
No, that I'm sure of.
Yep,
They're
you
carrying
sure are correct.
M16s. I don't think that they have, no, some of them do have magazines in there. So yeah. And then we hear someone say, "Okay, stand back." And there's like a guy who's like directing traffic type of thing, and he like moves his arms back and forth, trying to keep everyone away from the SWAT guys. You know, don't go near the SWAT
Guys
guy.
are not formidable to me, though.
They're
They're kind of funny. They're kind of like, I expect this kind of, I don't know why, but I this part, oh, it takes me out of the moment, and I look at them and go, you guys should be on a TV
Yeah,
show,
probably.
not a high scale movie like this. For some reason, I don't feel it with them at all. The villains are really great in this. They're super formidable. I believe them. They're over the top, but you know, as is the case here. But I feel like these guys, you can kind of just look at them and go, oh yeah, they just got those costumes right out of the rack and just
Yeah.
put them
I
on.
mean,
Super
what I
great
find really
effects.
interesting is the fact that the you know, on IMDb, none of them are credited at all. Not even like
Well, they're cannon fodder. They're basically
Yeah, they're
retroons.
red shirts, but at least one of them does have a line. And
A line. This is
you know,
true.
I think that you need to, you know, I think according to SAG, if someone has a line, you have to give them credit. You know, that
I think so too. Plus, you get plenty of actors who have parts that don't have lines and get credit. So he should be. Interesting.
Yeah, I found it a little strange because I wanted to know who these people were, you know, but they don't tell us.
And the one that you're referring to too, he looks familiar to me. It may just be that he look plays that
He's
kind of
probably
character or shows up in
he's
things and
probably a
he's the same
stuntman,
kind of
you know. I'm
guy.
assuming that he's listed as, you know,
That might be it.
as one of the stuntmen.
That's a really
Yeah.
good point. Also, too, I love these silver, like late 80s, early 90s briefcases that are in
Yes.
every movie and TV show for either the exchange of money or some kind of drugs
Cliffhanger.
or me
In
weapons of
Cliffhanger, they
mass
use them.
destruction,
But then again, that's
bio.
Rennie Harlan again.
Yes! Cliffhanger was one of the movies that I was referring to earlier before we started recording
Yes.
today, too. That was one of the dad
Yes.
movies. But yeah, I love it. I love those. One day, eventually, I'm going to own one of those suitcases and I'm going to use it for nothing. I'm just going to have it. I won't have enough money to put in it, so maybe I'll put something cool in it, like,
Well, these
I
suitcases
don't
are
know.
usually MacGuffins, so you know, you never most of the time, most of them they
Usually.
don't have any real use in the movie. You know, besides furthering the plot. You know, we never really find out what it is that they're
The only suitcase of value in any film ever is the suitcase
which
in
we
Pulp
also
Fiction.
is which we both know is the largest MacGuffin that you can have, and it has no point either. You know, like we never find out what's in there.
Nope.
What's in?
That's because he did that on
Yeah, of
purpose. I
course.
actually was reading about that yesterday. He specifically was mentioning that. He's like, why should I tell you? I'm not going to tell you. You guys need to figure that out yourself.
That's right.
I love you, Tarantino.
You know, Zemeckis did the same thing with Castaway. You know, people would ask him what was in the final package, and his response always was you know, a satellite phone. You know, it's too bad. Too bad that Chuck Nolan didn't open it, you know, that type of thing. He wouldn't have spent 5 years on
I
that
love that.
island. Exactly. And so we get to see that there are five SWAT guys here. You know, so keep that number in mind for the rest of the week. Think about that. And then the shot changes, and we see someone rolling out blueprints. And you know, we hear Marvin say the Skywalk Annex.
Skywalk.
And then John says, "No, God damn it, the Annex Skywalk. Listen to me, the Annex Skywalk. It's the last thing I heard before they kicked me out," which they did really well last week. You know, when their kick was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Now I don't even remember. I'm confused. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago,
I think.
where they kicked him out of the traffic control tower, and he's just walking right by somebody who mentions, you know, the Annex Skywalk. So there you go. You know, it's good that they give us that little bit of a hint, you know, that he's able to hear it. Well, later on, I'll talk about how in the script it's a little different. because in the script he didn't hear it. And then Marvin says, well, let me see here now. And he starts, pointing things. He goes, well, this must be it right here. See, that's the raised platform. And there's the new terminal. There's your skywalk. So, I mean, if you pay attention, like we've been doing, if you look on the blueprints, there's something actually written around that. It says point of no return, ductwork, entry level 1. I don't know why they would write point of no return. That doesn't make any sense unless, these are the blueprints that Colonel Stewart and his men used. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and there's other notes on it too. Like you see, it says repaired at one part and other notes on it. Again, maybe somebody in props just wrote it thinking they were funny, or maybe it was the blueprints the villains use, but why would the villains use it?
No, of course not. No, of course not. Of course not. But it's just really funny that it says point of no return. Like why would it even?
Because that's exactly what it is too. That's so funny.
It really is. And just yesterday we were talking about point of no return. So there you go. Yes.
The movie, exactly. Still,
no, I haven't watched it yet either.
Go watch it right now.
It's on my list now. I will try to get to it this weekend. When I have a little time.
Definitely. And the great thing about bringing it up too is, after you're with someone for a while, I think we've talked, Rob and I have talked about this in the past too, is once you've been married or in a couple for a long, long time, and one of you is a heavy movie person and the other isn't, you start to not run out of films to show them, but ones that have like big impact on you are super fun. So it's always fun to find something new too that I know that Mike hasn't seen, and I think he'll like it. So that's going to be a movie.
My wife prefers rom-coms. Sure. So, she will not, she wouldn't like Point of No Return. So, I'm just going to watch that one on my own.
No, that's not the shoot up.
That's the plan. That's the plan. And I mean, what I like here is that, Marvin is, we talked about yesterday that Marvin is the janitor, right? And he knows his stuff. He knows to read the blueprints. He knows to show, all right, this is where you need, this is the annex skywalk. Do you think this is a shout out to Star Wars?
I think so. They called skywalk. It looks like the array on Endor. I mean, and again, too, it's not all the same reference, but it does kind of look like Hoth out there. I mean, I feel like it.
Yes.
I feel like it's a little nod, at the very least. It has to be. We're big Star Wars nerds, so we're seeing it sure. But that's a lot.
And it's
of
that's
stuff.
Right. And we know that there's a name Anakin Skywalker, so to call it Annex Skywalker, is Skywalk is very close. I don't know.
It's so close. It's so close. I think it is. I think it's a Star Wars.
I would think so too.
And whether it is or not, I'm going to say it is from now on. I'm going to point it out to people.
There you go.
Real clever. Or crazy.
And well,
I'm
we're,
okay
we're,
with either.
We're seen as both.
I accept that.
Yeah, me too. I'm okay with that. It's just they don't understand me. That's what it comes down to. And other people like me other people who are like me understand me. So that's I think the important
language you speak. It's the same language.
Exactly. Yeah. That is correct. And then John says, God damn bottleneck, nice place for an ambush. Which again, they're sort of and then John says, so what's the fastest way you can get me out to that spot? And then the shot changes again and we're back with Barnes. He's with his good friends, the five SWAT guys, who the main SWAT guy who, we talked about before, doesn't have a SAG credit here, even though he should. I mean, they're walking through a place that you can clearly see is still under renovations. And then Barnes says, this kind of thing wasn't in my job description. And then
and yet Barnes is kind of the most formidable guy there too. This is not in his job description, but he's suited up. And he's ready to go and do what he has to do.
Yeah.
And I really like him. He's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great techie here. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. I like him. I'm rooting for him.
There you go. That's a good reason to. And then the head SWAT guy says, "Don't worry, Mr. Barnes, we'll watch your back." And then he mumbles back, "Yeah, who's gonna watch yours?"
Yeah.
which is a great line because it's also foreshadowing a little bit as to what's going to be happening a little bit later on.
Well, in the last couple days too, the scenes are really just a build up for what is going to come up tomorrow and the next day and then the next day after
That's
that.
right.
And it's a really big sequence, but it's a really good build up, but it's also really fast. And it transitions from, hey, we're in the watchtower, just kind of putting all this together to, oh, we've got some business to take care of. There are terrorists here and we have to stop them really, really fast. Like there's so many moving pieces all at once. And that's one thing that's really great about action movies, but also a really good reason to do a minute by minute with them is because you can really break all of that down and see how much is going on. I think it's really
That's
cool.
correct. All right. So, you have anything else for this minute before we get into the script?
Nope, I'm ready for the
All
script.
right.
I want to
So,
hear
the
what's the
script
script.
has a lot of different stuff here. So, I'm just going to read through it. So, it starts off with the description. It says, "There hasn't been this much activity in the airport police office since Gorbachev dropped in. Five SWAT officers check their gear, leave the office at Lorenzo's signal. Lorenzo says into a phone, 'I'm sending the SWAT team over for Barnes now. We don't need the goddamn Christmas tourists seeing guns and flipping out, so they'll take him the long way around.'" And then it says it zooms in on alligator clips. "We widen and as Marvin connects them to one set of bolts, then another. McLean shakes his head. 'No, no, yes.' Lorenzo's voice, 'Through the annex skywalk to the new terminal. That way nobody sees them. We won't have any panic.' Trudeau's voice, 'And we don't want any disasters. Barnes has 5 minutes to check out that antenna array.' McLean says to Marvin, 'Christ, they're going to try something cute. Where's this annex skywalk?' Marvin, 'Annex skywalk sounds like the Pissant's World Fair.' He rummages around, finds a big wrinkled map, smooths it out. Marvin says, 'Let me see. Yeah, must be this. Connects to the new terminal.' Marvin points to an elevated walkway connecting the two complexes. McLean looks at the map. It's a bottleneck. Anyone smart enough to shut down the airport is smart enough to figure this. It's the perfect place for an ambush." Then we're back in the engineer's office in the terminal. Barnes, nervous, throws things into a metal case. His fellow engineers watch, curious, as he exits with the five SWAT cops. Camera follows the four men past banks of computers, computerized weather maps, an LED Dulles map, all of it useless. All of the operators watching their only hope, Barnes. And then this is back in the basement. A mound of crinkled paper is flattened against the card table. We widen. See it? See, it's an architect's plan of the entire Dulles netherworld, cribbed by Marvin and now festooned with his various multicolored jotes and notes. Marvin, now see, here's you, and here's the skywalk. Now check this out. And McLean goes, tunnels? Like the Japs had all over Iwo Jima. That's where I got wounded. But we put those little twerps in their place once and for all. He points at the map. These are air ducts for all the terminals, heating, cooling, whole shebang. And then Marvin continues and
Whoa.
says, "So I put you in the boiler room where they start, and you come out there." McLean, looks like maybe a mile, easy jog. Marvin laughs. It's the pisser of a it's a pisser of a crawl, and that's the easy part. First, you got to be an acrobat." So then it says, "In the basement at the access for the duct. With a cordless drill, Marvin unhinges the access door. Last bolt. It falls with a sheet metal slam. McLean winces as a blast of air hits him, and as perspiration breaks out on his forehead, we realize it's hot air. Whoa! Winter up there, summer down here. He aims Marvin's flashlight down there, isn't enchanted with what he sees. He turns and takes Marvin's map. I owe you one, Marvin. How about a six-pack of malt liquor? How about a case of Johnny Walker? McLean gives him a dirty look. Hey, I may be homeless, but I ain't tasteless. So again, and that's what they have for the script here. It's fun. It's very fun reading through it, but I'm glad they cut it out. I don't think it's needed in the,
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
needed there either. I love the fact that Tom Bauer, plays a character who supposedly fought in Iwo Jima, which is a little bit of a problem given his own age. In 1990, Tom Bauer was born in 1938. Okay, which means that in 1990, he
So
was
he was a
52.
child.
So during Iwo Jima, which, if I remember correctly, took place in 45, he was seven.
Yep, he was a child. Nope, that doesn't work. And the whole part, I mean, I agree with you. It's all kind of fun, but it's completely unnecessary. And if they kept much of that in, it would have just completely dampened the sense of urgency that was going on and all of that tension and buildup. And they didn't need all of the talk too about the, oh, we don't need anybody to see the SWAT guys running around. Yeah, we already know
No,
that.
but
Yeah, of course you want to, you're still going to try and cover it up and hide everything. Of course you're going to, even though there's already a disaster
correct, but the
happening.
difference here
They're
is
all, I like, I appreciate that the
right,
damage
but the
was
difference
done.
here is that in, as I mentioned earlier, in the script, John doesn't hear about the Anakin Skywalker beforehand. So here, you know,
Yeah.
they at least give us a reason of how he knows about the Anakin Skywalker because, you know, they're eavesdropping on the conversation and that's where they hear it. I like it better the way that it works in the movie, you know, but
I
at least
agree.
they cover their bases here. You know, it wasn't something that they missed and you know, had to figure out a way to backpedal. You know, so I
And I appreciate that too, especially with specifically action movies, because they're so rewatchable, especially diehard movies in general, they are the original trilogy anyway. I mean, they're those kinds of movies that you can put on at any time, knock them around, and you're going to watch them. But after you've seen a movie 10, 15, 20 times, you start to pick up on all of those things, and you start asking the questions of, well, why did he know that? Why did he say that? Kind of what we're doing on the show right now. And yeah, so if you don't, if you're not thorough with answering those questions, then yeah, after a while it becomes something that if you're a big fan, you're gonna make jokes about. But if you're a big fan and then you covered all your tracks, then you're like, man, there's no flaws in this. Look at this, it's a
That's
perfect
right.
movie, which are very few and far between, but nonetheless, I still
Correct.
appreciate the
Well,
effort.
as you and I both know, I mean, we're you know, we're not pointing out the faults in this movie, you know, to blast the movie. We're enjoying it more this way.
No.
You know.
Yes. I think that's what a lot of people that don't understand some of the culture for being movie fans and TV fans and certain media fans and stuff like that is when you love something and you can joke around to make fun of it, it's a sign of affection. We're not actually hating on it. Those fans are very, very easy to see, particularly in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe.
But
Maybe, maybe. That's
anyway,
right.
I
So
digress.
every Wednesday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Aviation Edition, where my guest will give some sort of story, adventure, misadventure, something that happened to them that's somehow related to either an airport, an airplane, some sort of air travel, you know, something like that. So Heather, you got a story for us?
I do. This is the actually the last time I flew, so I've been having a difficulty trying to get motivated to again. I am terrified of flying. I doesn't stop me from flying. I still will fly, but I have tremendous anxiety whenever I do. So my last trip was a couple years ago. It was before COVID. I went down to Savannah with some friends of mine, and we ran a race down there. Tons of fun. The flight down there, it was wintertime. So we went down there. We had to wait for the plane to de-ice, and that just gave me more time to build up anxiety about flying. But the flight down was okay. Then we're coming home, and it's early morning, and there's a thunderstorm. In normal circumstances, I love thunderstorms. But I looked at my friends who are very well traveled, unlike myself, and I say, we're still going to fly in this, aren't we? Oh yeah, it's fine. There'll just be turbulence. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that. But you know too, I don't have any medication. I don't drink. I don't do any of those things. So it's just me, sober as a blue jay, first thing in the morning, terrified, climbing onto this plane. I sit down. Thankfully, I'm on an aisle seat, and we take off. And then all of a sudden, it's bloop, plane drops. Then again, bloop, plane drops. And I'm thinking, I'm not even looking at anyone else. I'm just holding white knuckled onto my seat, and I'm closing my eyes, and I'm just imagining being somewhere else and that this is normal and this is turbulence and this is what happens. It went on for an hour. The lights kept flickering. It was like my worst nightmare. I was convinced we were going to die. I think I opened my eyes a couple times to look at the girl sitting next to me who was reading her book, and then blah, blah, blah. And then after a while, we're almost back to Michigan at this point. I finally look around and my friends that are sitting in the aisle across from me are like, I didn't think we were going to make it. And I went, what? What? They're like, yeah, what if I fly all the time. That was horrible. I went, no. I really just almost died. They were like, oh, yeah, we just about went down. And then afterwards, which I had never had the experience, but I've heard the stories before that back in the day, everyone used to clap when the plane would land. There was lots of clapping. I was not clapping. I was trying to get off of that plane as quickly as I could. It was, for me, the experience was horrible. And I'm planning on going to New Orleans in the fall. And I have to get myself motivated. I told my doctor last month, I said, listen, you're going to have to pump me full of all sorts of Xanax or I'm not going to be able to do this. But yeah, that was one of my most scared experiences as a human being ever. I was terrified. And I know people fly all the time and they probably go through that stuff all the time, but it was not okay for me. Horrible. Horrible.
Wow. Okay. That is a great story. I'm glad that you made it back so that you could, you know, years later talk to us. So that's good.
Thank you. I will tell anyone who wants to listen to it because I will forever.
Be well, now you have it recorded, so you can just tell people go listen to this show, minute 43, and they'll be able to hear the whole story.
Brilliant! You're a genius.
There you go. See, and I get I get an advertisement at the same time. So why not? All right. So Heather, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, you can find me on the interweb on rabbitholepodcast.com. You can check out my podcast, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast. It's called Word of Hellmouth. You can also find my new book, The Prophecy, Bounty Hunters, on Amazon under my pen name, H.B. Walsh. Go check it out.
All right, very cool. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, or you can find me directly on my website, movierobminute.com. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little village,